Welcome to the Rugged Gospel Podcast, a lifestyle podcast where we have conversations about some of the biggest topics and challenges facing Christianity today. My desire is that you use these conversations to spark one of your own with somebody else, creating an atmosphere of openness and change that can all start through a conversation. For more information on the Rugged Gospel, visit us on our website at theruggedgospel.com and follow us on our social media at The Rugged Gospel. And with that, here's this week's episode. All right, welcome to another episode of The Rugged Gospel. Today, I am glad to have back, if I'm not mistaken, for the third time, Dacia Dillon. Thank you for coming on again.
Hello, everyone. I am so excited to be back on The Rugged Gospel. I'm looking forward to this conversation, and we're excited for the way that the Lord will minister through this platform.
Most definitely. And today, we're going to be talking about the topic of rain and how rain is necessary for all of us. I know sometimes, you know, and we were speaking right about it right before coming on, and, you know, she was mentioning that it always, like, it kind of feels gloomy, and we think it's a bad thing, right? And well, there's so many instances in the Bible that it mentions rain, and I feel like sometimes we don't really think about it, or we don't really look into it as much. But today we're going to be covering a lot of it, and I kind of want to get it started with just a little bit of the story of Hezekiah. Why don't you share with us, Dacia, a little bit of that story so the listener can kind of get a feel for what we're going to be talking about today?
For sure. And just piggybacking off of what you had mentioned, I feel like I've been to Seattle, and Seattle is one of those cities where it rains so much. And I'm the type of person that I need to see the sunshine, and immediately sometimes my mood just changes according to the weather. We live here in California, in sunny California, so we experience the hot summer weather quite often. And I've been in places where it's just gloomy or it's rainy, and it's just really like, it rains on your parade. It rains on your mood sometimes. And so I feel like a lot of times rain has a negative connotation. It has a negative context. It's a bad, gloomy thing. And so I'm actually excited that we're going to be talking about spiritual rain, because rain is actually mentioned over 100 times in the Bible. And so we know that rain is important to God. And so there's a story in the book of 2 Chronicles where a character of Hezekiah comes on the scene, and God blesses him with so much, an abundance of things. And it's actually found in 2 Chronicles chapter 32, verse 31. The latter portion of the scripture says that God left him to try him, that he might know all that was in his heart. And so to say that God is not aware of what decisions we're going to make is wrong. God knows the future. God knows what we're going to do. God knows our thoughts. He knows our motives. But a lot of times he will let us to take on those decisions, to take on those motives, so it can actually reveal the character unto us. It can reveal the motives of our heart. It can actually reveal the roots of our heart. And so God was really interested to see what he was going to do. And so a lot of times I've often heard the phrase, you are responsible for the decisions you make. You are not responsible for the consequences that come with it. And a lot of times seasons like this, rain that we're talking about, actually reveal the root of our heart a lot of times. It reveals how strong we are in our faith. And sometimes God will actually leave us to it, not to harm us, but it is our decision. We have self-will within our own human power. We have self-will to make those decisions upon our lives, but it actually reveals the character unto us of where our heart is at, where our motives are at, and God will a lot of times test us. I often hear people say this misconception: God was tempting me. God doesn't tempt anyone. He does not tempt anyone, because temptation comes from the enemy. God tests people. There's a huge difference. Temptation is something to lure you into falling. That's not God's character. He doesn't lure you into a trap. He tests you. A test is to reveal the character and the root of it all. And you can even look at it when, you know, when we were in high school, we would take tests. Why? They weren't for our teachers to harm us with a test. No, it revealed what knowledge we had in the material. Well, it's the same thing with God. These tests reveal where we're at. it reveals how strong our faith is, or unfortunately, how strong our faith is not. So to reveal that character, God let Hezekiah to make that decision to reveal to him what was in his heart.
Yes, I agree. And that's so good that the rain reveals. I think it's so true. And just thinking about like just this story itself, like I know we mentioned the verse 30-31, and just for the listener, if we kind of go back a little bit, right, we see that the Lord rescues and the people of Jerusalem from the king of Assyria, if I'm not mistaken, and really all others that threatened them, right? But I think it's at some point it says that there was peace through the land. It also mentions that Hezekiah became highly respected among nations. So we see all this, right? And then we see that he gets ill, and then God heals him. But then we see in verse, mm-hmm. I believe it's verse 25, he does not respond appropriately, and it says that he became proud, yeah. Right? Which kind of tells me that God does not like the proud, right? And so there's so much in this story that sometimes, like, we take it, I feel like we just kind of take it for granted, and we kind of just look at the surface level of it. But if we look deeper in this story, there's so much to learn from it. Mm. We really see then, like, himself, like, kind of humbling himself and repenting of his pride as well. But like you mentioned, mm-hmm. Verse 31st, it says that, you know, he withdrew from Hezekiah and really like to kind of test him, right, and see what was really in his heart, like you were mentioning. And to me, you know, I heard this quote, I don't remember who it was, but it said that information without application means no transformation, and it was so good to me. Like, I was just like, wow, like that is so good. Like, God desires for us to be fruitful, right? To heal us and to, you know, us right. to be able to become that person he wants us to be and take us to higher levels and go from realm to realm and do better for him and for ourselves, right? And you know, Psalms 34:8 says, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good." Like, he wants us to know that he's good, right? But at the same time, I feel like he doesn't want to persuade us, like, he wants us to kind of try for ourselves, right? Like Malachi 3:10, he says, "Test yep. me on this," right? He wants us to find out for ourselves. He wants us to go through that process, that trial process, and, you know, that rain that we're kind of speaking about, to be able to really see for ourselves. And I feel like this story kind of tells me a little bit of that,
right?
And it tells me, like, hey, like, it's almost like he doesn't want to make it that easy for us, in a way, even with babies, right? Like, mm-hmm. and we'll move on from here, but they normally have to go to full term when somebody has a baby in their belly. They have to go full term, which is normally the 9 months, right, to develop, right? The babies need that time to be able to fully develop. And I feel like it's the same thing with us. Like, just because we have maybe a gift, right, it doesn't mean that you can kind of just cut and try to come out in the second trimester instead of the third. Like, we have to go to that full term to be able to really grow fully where God wants us to grow. Even if, you know, because I feel like it's also in steps. Like, we can grow and grow and grow and grow from glory to glory. But he wants us to go from point A to point Z, and there's going to be all the letters in between, right? So I feel like, you know, we need to give God the time, and right. we need to be tested, right? So I feel like a little bit of what we were kind of starting with in that verse, and I know maybe I went a little further out, but these are some of the things that I just was thinking about when I was kind of going into the story. What do you think?
Yeah, for sure. It's interesting because that example of a baby was actually coming to my mind as well. I heard a pastor say, you know that you are a mature Christian in Christ, or you are maturing in Christ, when you no longer need someone to hold your hand in this walk with God. And it's so true, because even when a little toddler is developing, I remember I had a friend that she told me that every single time her child got hurt or they needed something, she let the child figure it out. And of course, it was not, she knew the extent to neglect versus just letting the child figure it out. But if the child didn't know how to do something, she waited before she just ran to her and tried to figure it out for herself. But she actually let her try to figure it out. And sooner, the child began to figure out the steps. But see, if she ran to her rescue every single time, that child was not going to develop in the ways that it needed to be able to figure things out on its own. And that's how you grow. It's places of, you know, darkness, and it's places of valleys, and it's places of this spiritual rain where God is allowing you to actually go through these seasons of life so it can expose and reveal you, but ultimately develop you. And I would even say this, rain is actually grace. Let me tell you why it's grace. If a farmer has a crop and it has a harvest, it needs sunshine. That's one of the greatest things that it needs, but it also needs water. If those plants are neglected water and they are just given sunshine, they will ultimately die. There needs to be a balance of nurture. And that is the same thing with God and with Christians. Imagine if it was just blessings on blessings on blessings and being showered with these good things of God. And although God is a blesser, he is also a God that wants us to grow through these seasons. And there is a fine balance with God as well. I will give you blessings, but there will also be rain. God is a God of the blessings, but he's also a God of the rain. Why? Because it teaches our character. It reveals our character. It reveals how strong our roots are. And rain was never meant to hurt us. It was meant to reveal us, to reveal how deep our roots are in Christ. And it is actually a blessing, and it endures, and it exposes our seasons of life, and it is God's grace upon our life.
I definitely agree. And when you were kind of just talking right now, it kind of, I don't know why, I kind of started thinking about James as well. And James 5:18, when it talks about Elijah and him praying for it to not rain, and right, and it did for 3 years. It didn't for 3 years, I mean, and then he prayed for it again, and it did. And one small passage of it, it says, it rained and the earth produced its fruit. And that kind of got me thinking. I was like, you know, I mean, earth cannot produce the fruit without the rain. And it's the same thing with us, right? We cannot produce without first getting rain. And I feel like it's just one more, you know, example in the Bible. Again, if we kind of dive a little deeper, sometimes we would begin to understand, and like God begins to also, you know, speak to us through his scripture, and you need that rain in order to produce fruit as well. So I just kind of wanted to mention that, and just an example as well. You know, we've seen some crazy rain during the last couple of months in California, right? It's been kind of crazy and everywhere. And even through the United States, like, we've seen, you know, a lot of different weather systems and a lot of different things like that. I kind of wanted to bring up the example of, I know we see that there's a storm, right? And we see the storm and Jesus is just sleeping. Right. I really wanted to get into this one because I think there's a lot to get out of it. You know, the text says that it was a furious storm. Other translations say a big wind. Right. So just imagine like maybe like a hurricane or waves, those huge waves that we see like during hurricanes and stuff like that. Right. And not only that, but, you know, going back to, even in California, we've gotten all this rain, talked these floods, all these different things that kind of have been going around the last couple months. So just imagine like this crazy hurricane, and like imagine yourself on a boat, and Jesus is just like knocked out. He's just asleep in full peace. And like that kind of gets me, like, I'm like, how can you be that peaceful and asleep when there's huge waves and big winds and the boat's probably going everywhere and you're just sleeping? right? And it just like was making me think of just really the peace that God can bring during a storm too.
Right.
Right. And during the rain, he's resting, right? There's adversity around him, he's resting, right? Hostility around him, and he's resting. There's chaos around him, he's resting. Mm-hmm. You know, the waves are going crazy, he's resting. Lightning probably resting, right? Like, he's showing us that the peace that really surpasses all understanding was in him, mm-hmm. right? Like, how in the midst of everything, he could still rest, right? During all of that, he was still just resting. And the question that I have maybe for the listeners that they can, you know, ask themselves, right, is which one are you during a storm, right? Like, how does the storm look like for you? Are you scared and shaking, or are you like the king where he's just resting, right? It just got me really thinking of that question, and I asked myself that question. But what do you think about this whole, at least this part of the story, Dasya?
Yeah, I think I can narrow it down. You mentioning that Jesus was just resting through all of this. Jesus, one, knew who he was. Two, Jesus knew who he served. And I feel like that's a question we need to ask ourselves. When we are enduring storms, one, do we know who we are? Being children of God, being overcomers, being the people with the victory, and two, do we know who we serve? Because when we understand who we are, just like Jesus understood who he was, we understand that we can already conquer these things that are coming towards us in opposition. But the greater thing of it all, do we understand who we serve? Because when we understand who we serve, we understand that maybe we may be looking at rain through a physical eye. But this is the thing about Jesus. It may have been physical rain, but spiritually he was on top of it. See, God is always found where rain is present. Rain is actually in the Old Testament significant, and we even see a few examples of it in the New Testament. Jesus was present with the storm. Jesus was present wherever there was water, in baptism, John the Baptist, all these things. Rain was actually, God was with his people. You see it in the Old Testament, when God withheld rain from people, it was because they were not in alliance and in obedience with God. And so we really need to change our perspective. Is the storm a bad thing, or it's just revelatory? It just reveals our roots. And so the ability to have peace and rain, yes, it's something that we have to have gone through to be able to mature and overcome in and have that peace and understanding who we are and who we serve. And so I believe with all my heart, Jesus understood those things, but his disciples were not at a place where they understood that. That's why they feared. They didn't really recognize the Messiah's right here with us. He's already calmed the storms. He's the one that's over the physical waters. They doubted themselves, and two, they doubted who was in the boat with them. And so I do feel, I heard a preacher once said, every insecurity comes from a place where you are not securing God yet.
Wow.
And that really put things into perspective to me. Because when we fear during these storms, is it because we're not secure in who the master on our boat is? And we're not secure in the fact that we are his disciple and he called us out from amongst them? When we understand who we are and when we understand who we serve in the midst of the rain, the storm will not faze us. And here's another thing. When you understand that the rain, although it was physical droplets and the storm was physical water, Jesus was the supernatural power above the rain. See, I feel like a lot of times we look at rain through our physical eyes. It's scary. It's dangerous. We're going to drown in it. When we fail to look at it through our spiritual eyes, wait a minute. Jesus has the power over the rain. I believe everything spiritual is above the physical. The Bible says in the book of Genesis that the Spirit of God hovered over the waters. no matter what the physical was saying, God was over it. So whenever we encounter storms and we encounter rain and we encounter these seasons, we need to understand who we are. We need to understand who we serve. And lastly, we need to understand that Jesus is above the physical. Because if we're looking at things through a physical perspective, we will always fear. It will always look greater. It will always look like this great imagination. But when we understand, wait a minute, my God is over the storms. My God, with his voice alone, calms the storms. We will start to see things through a spiritual lens, which is, I believe, the goal of God, for us to see things through his vision and through his eyes and through his lens, rather than our physical, carnal, fragile, fearful being. We will be able to overcome with a change of perspective and a change of vision and a change of seeing the rain differently.
Yeah. It's so important that we see the rain, not only, you know, like you were saying, physically, but spiritually. It's yes. So important that when we see the storm, when we see that we're going through something, we see it with different eyes, that we learn to see it with the spiritual eyes, that we learn to see like, hey, why is this happening to me? Where is it taking me? What is God trying to tell me with this?
Right.
And I feel like during this time, that's when people quit. Yeah. That's when people leave. That's when people, you know, they get too scared and they're like, I can't do this. I can't with this. I'm out. Right. Yeah. And this is not the time where you quit. Right. Yeah. So if you're on the other end and you're listening and you're going through a specific storm and you're seeing the rain, this is not the time for you to quit. This is the time for you to dig in closer to God.
Yeah.
Right. And really just hold on to him through this time of rain and storm so you can come out on the other end. Right. Want to add something?
Yes, I do want to mention this. I just feel the Lord just kind of taking this us in this direction. There's actually another story in the Bible where a storm comes with the disciples. And we all know this story. If you don't know the story, it's the story of Peter walking on water. That's one of his disciples. And it's so interesting because Jesus tells Peter to come to him. And then all of a sudden, this storm breaks out. I often ask myself, why did Jesus ask Peter to come to him instead of Jesus walking to him? He asked Peter to come to Jesus. Have you ever thought about that? True. And I think to myself, like, Jesus, you're the one walking on water. You're the one that has the superiority over this water. You are asking the disciple that already stepped out of his boat. Maybe he was fearful, and we know he was fearful. He started to look at the waves and all that when the storm came, to walk to you rather than you walk to him. Let me tell you why. We mentioned that rain reveals character. It reveals how deep your roots are. But I believe also there are seasons that God will allow the rain to come into our life. And it's not because it's meant to bring fear or bring, you know, this downfall. It was actually because I truly believe Jesus trusted Peter. A lot of times we look at the story as Peter needed to trust Jesus. And yes, that's true. But I also believe there's another side to it. I also believe Jesus trusted Peter. Peter, you had been with me for 3 years. You had seen every sign, miracle, and wonder. You were there when the woman with the issue of blood was healed. You were there when I fed the 5,000. You were there, you were there, you were there. Now it's time for me to expose you to yourself. And you know what? We are our worst enemy. We're our worst enemy.
Yep.
God is over here cheering for us and rooting for us. And I believe you can do it. Walk to me, Peter. But we are our worst enemy. We doubt ourselves in the rain. God is actually cheering us on. That's my son. That's my daughter. I have given them the victory. I've already equipped them. It's us that doubt ourselves. It's Peter that doubted himself. He forgot that Jesus had already told him to come. So he believed in him already. And he already gave him the authority and the equipping to be able to walk on the water. And if that's you, that you're listening to this, and maybe you're facing a season of rain right now, I want you to know that God's rooting for you. God's cheering you on. In those seasons that God tells you to put your big girl skirt on and your big boy pants on, it's not because God's trying to harm you with the rain. God is teaching you and revealing to you, I believe in you. Walk to me. I always found that very interesting. Why you don't walk to him? You made him walk to you. It's because he already entrusted Peter to do what he called him to do. Rain reveals those things, but it also is a season where God is rooting for you. He's cheering for you, and he is actually trusting you to overcome because he has already equipped you in the first place.
Gosh, that's good. That's good. I got a little bit of goosebumps with that one because I'm just thinking back on myself when you were speaking, and it's so true, Dacia. Like, God is trusting you to go through this.
Right.
He's trusting you to.
He trusted him to walk on water.
Yes, he's trusting you to get to him. Like, he's setting this up for your success. Like,
not for your failure.
Yeah, exactly. And he already knows that you're gonna do it, that you can withstand right. it. Like, that's why he's allowing you to go through that specific thing. And it's right. so important. And I was just thinking about this too. It's so important that we don't base ourselves off of our feelings. It's mm-hmm. feelings just aren't Lord. Like, they just, like, how you feel shouldn't be the biggest determining factor of if you're gonna be planted or you're not gonna be planted, right?
Right.
And we can bring this in a little bit about being planted, because I feel like it's also something that can take you through a storm, right? If we see some, just a quick example of the root and all of that, right? If we are first growing, right? We grow underneath. We grow down first before anything ever comes up. Just nature, right? But also with us, like, if we are rooted in him, we're gonna withstand that rain.
Right.
It's not gonna take us out, right? It might take the top right. off, but you're still rooted. And if you're still yes. rooted, you're going to flourish again. And there's going to be fruit again, right? It might take a little bit of time, but there will be fruit again, right? And feelings, you know, are I would like to kind of say it this way, like, feelings are wonderful visitors, but terrible landlord. They are not here to stay. Feel what you need to feel, yes. Don't let it stay there. Because if you let it just stay there, it's not going to be a good outcome, you know? And I know it's hard, and I know you want to quit, and I know you don't like it, and it's not comfortable. You might be, whatever you're going through, right? You don't see any of the fruit yet. You just might see dry land, right? But let's take it back to California. Like, how long were we in a drought for?
Years.
But the rain came. And now most of California right. is out of a drought. There was flooding, right? So it's the same way. Like, it's not only going to benefit us as well. Think about the generations coming behind you.
Right.
What are you going to leave for them? Are they going to benefit from your fruit? Or is there not going to be any fruit for them left? Just think about, and not only ourselves, but the generations that are coming before us. Right? The planting is now, so the outcome can come next, and which is fruit. It's just so important that we, you know, not let our feelings, not let, you know, our fears take over. And it's just so, so important what you were mentioning as well. You know, kind of moving the conversation along, there's many seasons in just our lives, right? I know you've maybe gone through a season yourself. I know I've gone through seasons myself where you feel like you're underneath, you feel like you're in the dark, you feel like, you know, taking it back to the same thing of, you know, being planted, like, you're going to be in the dark for a long time before there's any light, right? But the light's still coming through, which is how you're growing, right? You just sometimes can't see it, but it's there. Same thing with rain, like, if right. we see it that way, like, we have the clouds, but above the clouds, the sun's still there. There's still sunshine behind those clouds, right? It's almost like a mist that's kind of over you, right? In a way that's just there for a time and then it goes away, right? So I want to encourage whoever's listening that, you know, rain is not forever, right? It's not forever. What do you think, Dasia?
Yeah, I absolutely agree. There's a verse in the book of Psalms that says, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. And so I remember reading that verse and thinking to myself, walk. That's a continual movement forward. And I want to encourage anyone that's listening to this. There are going to be seasons you're going to be able to sprint, and it's going to be joy and it's going to be blessings. And then there are seasons where the rain is going to come in and you won't always have the strength. It's going to be tough and it's going to be hard. You're going to be walking. It's going to be a slower pace. But the important thing is, and I feel like David highlighted it the best way, is walking is a continual movement. He didn't say, though I walk through the valley and stop and sit down right after. He said, though I walk through the valley. It's a continual movement. And so even when we're enduring seasons like this, it's important to never quit. It's important to never stop, never give up on God, and never give up on just what God has called you to do and who you are in God. Because we may not always feel like running, but don't you ever stop. Don't you ever put your armor down. Don't you ever just turn into the side road and give up. It's going to be a slower movement sometimes, but the walking shows it's a progressing forward, and you will get out of the valley. Ultimately, you will get out of the valley. And it's important to understand that rain doesn't last forever, but it's there for a season to reveal our roots. And it's important to understand that even in that, God has given you the ability to be content in every circumstance. And so, you know, anyone that's listening to this, understand that it's not going to last forever. This too shall pass. It shall. Just hold on to God, hold on to the promises of God, and endure. But this is where your greatest, I believe, preparations come forth. The greatest propellings forward in your walk with God are launched from, I believe, some of the darkest, deepest, lowest parts of our pits. And I know, Jesus, you've experienced seasons like that. I've experienced seasons like that. Some of the lowest places of my life were actually, and I look at where I'm at now by the grace of God. And I remember where I was in my teenage years. And I think to myself, man, that was such a low season of my life. It was such a dark season of my life. It was a season that came with a lot of rain and a lot of tears. But that was actually the season that I'm living in the harvest of it now. I'm living in the fruitfulness of it now. I am now seeing the harvest of something that I seen the rain a few years ago. And I will say this, guys, a lot of times the rain, when it comes, your tears are the water that is watering the harvest that is going to come in a different season. Continue to move forward, because it does mean something. The rain does mean something in this season, but also the preparation of the harvest that is getting ready to come.
I definitely agree. So there's something else that I heard once, and I wrote it down a long time ago, and I think is the perfect time to mention it. And it said, if you only have sunshine, you become a desert. And I was like, that is so profound. And it's true.
It is.
If there's always sunshine, it's going to, like, the land is going to dry up. It's going to become a desert. There's not going to be any fruit around it. You're going to need the water and the rain for there to be anything. Yeah. Right. And like you're mentioning, like, it is hard. Like, we've both gone through different things and, you know, in our lives, and it hasn't been easy. It's never easy. It's the toughest times you can go through. But it's also the times where you really grow the most. And you're not going to be able to see it for yourself until you go through it.
Yeah.
It's literally the time where you grow the most and you get the closest to God.
Yes.
It's crazy to think about. Like, it's where you feel the loneliest, but at the same time, like, full. I don't know if that even makes sense.
No, for sure.
God just is there. Maybe when nobody else is, but he is.
Yeah, and I agree 100%. I was mentioning this earlier, that rain is actually God's grace. Mm-hmm. Because if we have too much of it, it can spoil us. It can lead us to prideful ways. And here's the reality of it. If even nature has a process of sunlight and water, and it has a process it has to go through, how much more God's people? we're not exempt from a process. Mm-hmm. We're not exempt from the sunshine and the rain in our life. We need it. And see, that's what exactly what you were mentioning. These seasons teach us how to be dependent on God. It's actually God's grace. If I were to never have allowed this to come out of your life and you to lose this and you to have to go through this, you would have never known what it was like to lean on me. And you would have never known what it was like to endure these seasons by the cross and holding my hand. And these are the seasons where we learn how to endure, but we learn how to endure leaning on Christ. And rain shows that God is with you, irregardless of the season, irregardless of what you're going through. Rain exposes the roots. Rain is not meant to hurt you. Rain reveals the deepness of your roots and how much you are rooted and planted in Christ.
Yes, I agree. And another thing that, you know, just to add a little bit, and then we'll bring it back to something else, but it's really also what we focus on.
Yeah.
Right. With the rain, like many times, you know, maybe during or slightly after the rain, right? There's usually what? We see rainbow, right? But at the same time, if you look down, there's going to be mud, right? So which one do you want to focus on? Yeah. Do you want to focus on the rainbow, which is God's promise, it says, or do you want to just look at the mud and the mess? Focus and shift your thinking and how you're looking at life as well. Right? I feel it's so important that we really do that. And I wanted to mention just quickly a couple examples here. Jonah experienced a rain because he was rebellious, right? God gave him an instruction. It didn't sit well with him and with his feelings, right? So he experienced a rain, which was, you know, that whole process of the fish, and we all know the story. Noah experienced rain because he was also favored, but he was faithful, right? But at the same time, you know, there was that time when he had to leave. He went in the desert. He was alone. He had to go through all of that time on his own. And then God spoke to him. But he had to take him out, right? In order to give him what he wanted him to do and grow him. And he was scared and he didn't want to do it. But he was faithful and he really wanted to follow what God was telling him to do, and he did. And we can see everything that happened because of that obedience. So it's also obedience for us to, it's also obedience to go through that rain. And, you know, that's just two examples from so many other ones. What I wanted to get to is we have to gain wisdom from the rain. Like, if you don't gain wisdom from the rain, why did you even go through it, right? You have to learn during that rain. You have to gain wisdom. At the end of the day, God's presence is bigger than any of your problems. Once you go through that storm and survive, the next one you are going to have, you ain't going to be that scared. Because you've already gone through a rain. You already felt what it felt like. You already know how you got out of it. So now when another rain comes, it's like, well, I got it, you know? And tell me if I'm mistaken, but in Matthew 8, right, to chapter 14, we see in Matthew 8, we see that first storm. And in Matthew 14, we see the other storm. And if I'm not mistaken, Peter was in both of the storms.
Yep.
A lot changed from one to another. We see that Peter grew from one storm to another storm. In the first one, everybody was terrified. But in chapter 14, the situation looks very similar to him, right? He's like, all right, there's another storm. But here, you know, we see that Peter sees it a little bit different, right? Not like the last time when Jesus said, oh, ye of little faith, which was in that previous one in chapter 8. So since he had already gone through that one, this for him was another one of those storms. Now he had a different expectation of it, right? And Peter kind of remembers that last time and how it was for him then, right? We see now, you know, and I know you mentioned it, that he's like, well, I want to do something different. So now he's also like, all right, I'm gonna walk to him, yeah. Right? On the other one, I can probably see him like holding on to things and trying to like, and being scared and yelling at Jesus, like, why are you sleeping? And, you know, just thinking he's probably going to die and all of these things. And in the next one, he's like, you know what? How about I walk to him now? Even though the storm probably looked very similar, those waves were still crazy. The wind was still going insane. But this time, he's taking it differently.
Yeah.
So the rain is needed for our growth. Really, that thunder is just for intimidation purposes only. It's really just to intimidate you. It's really just to test you. All the surroundings is just to test you. Again, don't be like him. Right? Because he starts with the faith, and he's like, I'm going to walk to him, but then he doubts. And what happens? He begins to sink, right? And I feel like that's many of us, because it is hard when you're going through that rain. And many times it can feel like you get a little bit of like that faith, and you're like, okay, I'm going to make it through. And then out of nowhere, it hits you again, and you're like, but look at where I'm at. And you start doubting God. You start doubting what he can do. You start doubting that he can get you out of that space. We have to hold strong to him. We really do. Anything you want to add, Dacia, to that?
Yeah, for sure. I truly believe that you are not ready for the promise until you have endured the process. Mm-hmm. And that is the rain a lot of times. Everything comes with a process. Everything that we will ever endure in this spiritual walk will come with a process. Why? Because God doesn't want the process to have us. He wants us to have victory over the process. And going back to Peter, that's actually such a powerful point. Very powerful point. He approached the storm differently. This time, yeah, people can look at it like he drowned and all that, but he was the only bold one that was willing to get out of the boat. He was the only radical one that was willing to step out and see, I'm going to walk on water. And so he had a different approach. And I do believe that if we are enduring the rain, God is the ultimate teacher. God has always been the ultimate teacher. Jesus, when he came to earth, he was called a rabbi. He taught the people. And I don't think he is exempt from teaching us even to this day. There is always something that God wants to teach us. But the question is, will we learn that lesson? And I have seen people that unfortunately have been in a cycle where the same rain or the same process and storm has come after them, but it's because they have not learned the lesson for that season to move on to the next level. Mm. And if you find yourself in a place where you feel, man, this is always coming against me, ask yourself, are you always enduring it with the same approach? Do you always have the same mindset? We are not victims. We are victorious over whatever comes towards us. So approaching it, one, from understanding who you are, understanding who God is, and understanding that God has already given you the victory, you already have such a huge start in the way that you are viewing this rain. But also understanding, I always ask myself this question whenever I'm enduring seasons like this. God, what is it that you want to teach me? I think it's so important. I do want to mention this, to have a teachable spirit. To have a teachable spirit.
Yeah.
So I'll give you an example. I'm a basketball coach. Our season ended a few weeks ago. And when I first walked onto the court, I coach middle school girls. Only two of my girls had previous basketball experience. All the other nine girls on my team consisted of 11 girls, have never even touched a basketball before in their life. I remember thinking to myself, oh my goodness, this is going to be a tough one. Because we are really starting from the basics. We're really starting from just, I have to teach them fundamentals up. No three-pointers. I actually didn't even allow them to shoot any three-pointers because they were all air balls. They were not ready for that yet. And here's the thing. Imagine if I would have let them shoot three-pointers in the game. They weren't ready for that yet. We're going to start with the free throws. We're going to start with the layups. We're going to start with the dribbling. We're going to start with just not losing the ball as you're dribbling. My first game, one of the gals, funny story, actually shot the basket in the opposing team's court. She gave them a point. Talk about, oh my goodness, we know what we need to work on Monday at practice. But here's the thing. I want to make a point with all of this. I understood that I had to start from the fundamentals. If I came to them, and I would have rather so much have a team that was willing to be teachable and had little to no experience than a team that walked in and said, we know it all. We're not going to listen to your instructions. We're going to do as we please, than a team that was teachable. You know why I stuck it out? Although it was tough, we had to start from the basics because they were teachable. That's what I was willing to work with. A teachable team rather than a know-it-all team that try to come in and show off their basketball skills. But I stuck it out because I said they're teachable. They're humble. They want to learn from me. And they actually ended up placing as one of the top teams in our tournament at the end of the season because they were willing to learn. And that's the type of approach we need to have with these seasons. God, I want to be teachable. What do you want to teach me in these seasons? I want to have your heart and your mindset. And this is the other thing that I want to mention. Imagine if I was going to allow them to be scoring three-pointers at the game. They would have all been air balls, respectfully speaking, because I knew the level that they were at. They were not ready to be shooting three-pointers. We had to start from the basics. And that is where I mentioned that rain is actually God's grace. He lets you start in a place where he says, I'm going to toughen you out in this place. I'm going to let the rain pour out on you in this area so it can reveal your character, because in the future, you're going to need to know this. In the future, where I'm taking you in your ministry, where it's so much greater than any eye can see, you will need to know this. And I would rather you endure this right now than when later on, the process eats you up because you never knew how to endure rain. And now rain actually has come and it's revealed your character and you're not even rooted at all. So it's actually, rain is God's grace. If I were to have let them shoot three-pointers, they weren't ready for that yet. We needed to start in layups, and that's the rain. I know you don't want to run. I know you don't want to do suicides. I know you don't want to start at the basics. You want to go shoot off three-pointers. See, everyone wants the blessings, but they don't want the process.
Yep.
Everyone wants the promised land, but they don't want the desert. Everyone. But God is saying, this is actually my grace. Rain is actually my grace. You're not ready for three-pointers yet, my child. I'm keeping you from it because you're only going to end up embarrassing yourself in the game. And there were a few times they would shoot a three-pointer. It was air ball. You know, I love my girls, but that's what it was. And I said, don't be shooting three-pointers. You're not ready for that yet. We're going to start with the basics. And this is God's grace through the rain. I will toughen you out, daughter. I will toughen you out, son. And I will give you some spiritual grit and some spiritual roots. So when the storm comes again, you're already grounded. You're already rooted. And the storm doesn't take you out. The three-pointers don't take you out. You've already learned basics. And so that's what I really truly believe, that rain is God's grace. We need to look at it from a different perspective. I'm not being a terrible coach by letting them know you can't shoot three-pointers. I was guarding them until they were ready. Well, that's what rain does. I'm preparing you until you're ready. So when the storm comes again, when Peter has to walk on water again, you have a different approach. You've learned something. You're ready now.
That's really good. And that's so important that you mentioned. I hadn't even thought of that. But it's so important to have a teachable spirit too.
Yeah,
and sure. Just as you were, you know, saying that story of your girls and your team, like I was thinking about those two or three that you're mentioning that already knew what they were doing.
Right.
And it got me thinking. And I was like, a lot of the times, like many people in the church, they think they know everything. They think, you know, I've gone through this, I've seen this, I've et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And they become unteachable. Mm. They only now want to teach. Mm. Right? And it's so important that no matter where we're at, I don't care if you're just sitting in a pew or you're the bishop or bishop president, he's still teachable.
Yeah.
We always have to be teachable. Because if we stop being teachable, then we stop growing. And God doesn't want us to stop growing. He wants us to keep growing and growing and growing. And I don't think there's a place where you can get to where you know it all.
Right.
you're always going to be learning from experiences, from storms, from rain, but you're going to be growing, right? And it's so important that when we do know something, that we try and help and teach others to get to where we're at, right? Pull them up instead of shutting them down, right? And it's so important that we do that as God's people. And even, you know, just taking it back to the rain a little bit, you know, we ought to stop praying for God to get us out of the rain, like to get us out of it. Because I feel like that's our first reaction. It's like, God, get me out of it. Like, I don't like this. Please get me out, right? Why don't we start praying it differently? Like, what can I get out of this, God? I feel like you almost have to steward your storm as well.
Yes.
Like, I can use what you've been through and who you have become. That can be used for somebody else, right? Also, that's the good thing about sharing your testimony too. You can help others going through a similar storm that you went through.
Right.
You know, so they can see that they can also make it because you did. So we have to really kind of see it from a different perspective. And we have to think about what's on the other side of the storm. Like I was mentioning earlier, like it's going to be the sunshine. It's going to be the good times. It's going to be that spring thing that you were mentioning earlier. It's going to be that good time, you know, but you have to go through this. You can't just not, you know, put it aside and just act like if it's not there. So we have to be just very focused during the rain, and we have to be very, just take it head on.
Right.
You know, it's not an easy thing to do, definitely. You know, we have to, like you mentioned earlier, to put on those big boy pants and let's go, right? And like we said, it's not easy, but it's also not, you know, impossible either.
Right.
God is allowing you to go through it is because he believes that you're going to get through it. And he knows that you're going to get through it. But before we go, Dacia, do you have anything else you want to add or any other point that you would like to mention before we go here?
Yeah, for sure. I do believe that, like I mentioned, that this is necessary. Rain is always necessary for whatever we will need to endure because it's important. It's part of the process. And I do want to end with this. Paul talks about in 2 Corinthians that he shares that famous verse that says that my grace is sufficient for thee, but my strength is made perfect in weakness. I remember looking at that verse and thinking to myself, like, there is not, I truly believe that everything we will endure, God will match it with the grace to endure it. I truly, truly do believe that. And so if you find yourself in a place where you're saying, can I endure this? Can I do this? I truly believe that the level of endurance that you are going through, God will not only just match it with the grace that needs to be met to overcome that trial, that valley, that storm, he will overflow it. His grace is sufficient. His grace is enough to be able to overcome that. And I've often seen that. I've seen that God do that in every single season of my life. It's not like I'm putting more effort and God's grace is down here. That's not the way it works. Is where I'm at, God will match it with his grace. He didn't say my grace is less than. He didn't say my grace is way at the bottom. He said my grace is sufficient. It's gonna carry you through. So whatever you're enduring, God will match it with the grace that is needed to get you to the end. And so I just want to encourage someone with that. And yes, know that rain is necessary, but God is the God of the rain and he's the God of the storm. And God was always found where there was a rain, where there was storm, where there is exposure to water. God is so found in that water. And it is not exempt outside of the character and who God is in the midst of the storm.
Yes, I agree. And to kind of close out, if you're already going through that specific rain, hold on. That's as easy as I can really put it or tell you. Like, I know it's going to be hard, but just hold on to God.
Right.
And seek him as much as you possibly can. That's if you're going through it. If you're not going through rain and you're in that sprinting season and you're just going, prepare for the rain because it's gonna come.
Right.
at one point or another is going to come to your life. Are you going to be prepared or are you not? So if you are not in a storm, prepare for one in advance. Get planted.
Right.
You know, grow your roots, grow your relationship with God, you know, be close to him, gain his peace, because it's going to help you and it's going to get you through whatever storms you go through in life. So I think it's very important that we also prepare before the rain, you know, just like we prepare when we go, you know, outside and it's cloudy and we think it's going to rain and we take an umbrella because we know the rain is coming.
Right.
Prepare. It's really going to help you. But Dacia, thank you so much for coming on again. It's always a pleasure talking to you and having conversations with you. I always say this, but there's so much wisdom in you. And I know it's only God that does it. I know many people admire you, and I myself admire you as well. And I just want to, you know, honor that and what God has been doing in your life. And I just, you know, want to really just tell you to keep going forward and to keep serving like the way that you serve. I know I've told you that before, but it's really awesome to see the way that you serve, because it's really how people should serve. You're not seeking a platform. You're given one because you are seeking him. And it's awesome to see that. So keep moving forward. Keep serving the way that you do. Keep serving your district the way that you're serving, and God's going to keep blessing you and your life and your ministry.
Well, thank you so much. All the honor and all the glory goes to God. Truly, we are just vessels, and it is such a blessing. It's always such a joy to be able to join the Rugged Gospel, and I pray that God continues to use this platform and this ministry and continues to bless you as well, Jesus, and thank you so much for having me on. And to all the listeners, we pray that this is a blessing, that this would be planted and land on good soil of your heart. And remember, hearing the word of God is nothing without application. So may we run with it, apply it to our lives, and watch God water that seed and bless it. Thank you so much once again.
Amen to that. For anyone listening, thank you for listening, and we'll see you on the next episode. God bless.
Thank you for listening to the Rugged Gospel. I want to thank you all so much for all the stars and reviews and all your support this far. If you haven't, please leave us a review and a rating, which helps the podcast grow and be more visible to people. Make sure to follow us on Instagram for all announcements, and please comment. We'd love to hear from you. And lastly, we're so excited to announce that we are now on YouTube. Please go and subscribe to the channel. The link will be listed below. Thank you all again, and we'll see you on another episode of the Rugged Gospel.